Thank the Lord for that blood. Never lose its power. John chapter 7. I'm not even going to attempt to preach. I'm going to read. How do you follow that? John chapter 7 starts out talking about Jews were having the Feast of Tabernacles. That's held in October over in Judea. And Jesus sends his disciples on up ahead of him. And he's not going to go with them at the moment because, you see, about a year and a half earlier, he had healed a man on the Sabbath. And that really ticked the religious leaders off because, you know, they were big on the Sabbath. And Jesus kind of rebuked them on one occasion there about how, you know, you want to fuss at me for doing something on the Sabbath, but in Moses' law, he said we should go ahead and circumcise on the Sabbath, and y'all don't get mad when they're doing that. You don't get bent out of shape over that. And he talks about how much more important it is to meet the needs of people, but nonetheless, they were upset with him. And at that moment, a year and a half earlier, they began to set out to kill him. And so he goes ahead and he sends his disciples on up to the Feast of Tabernacles, and he later on will begin to incognito, low profile, kind of slip on up there. And the next thing we see, he's in the temple, and he's teaching, and he talks to them in such a way that some of the people said, could this be the Christ? Some said, nah, no way. Others, it's got to be, or a prophet. Then the religious leaders, they reject him in 32 down through 36. Then in 37 through 39, Jesus promises the coming of the Holy Spirit that will empower his followers and his believers. We'll pick up in verse 40 of chapter 7. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, they said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David, from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among them because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, or arrest him in other words, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said unto them, why have you not brought him to me? Why have you not arrested him? Don't you have him in handcuffs? Why didn't you bring him to me? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this. Then the Pharisees asked them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Then Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said unto him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. I want to focus your attention to verse 46, and my comments will be brief tonight because I don't need to say anything. Holy Spirit has been moving in our hearts. The Holy Spirit has ministered through song, but I want to leave you with these words. Verse 46, no man has ever spoke like this. One of the other gospels, it says, no man has ever spoken like this, for his words have power. His words have authority. His words on the sea that was troubled and in the storm when he said, peace, be still. The winds ceased, the waves settled. The one that says, Lazarus, come forth. And he called the dead to life. The one that said to the paralytic that the four men had borne to them and tore off the ceiling tiles and lowered him in front of Jesus because they couldn't get close to the house because of the crowd. You see, his words had power. Amen. Jesus looked up at the effort those four men had put into getting this paralytic there. And it says that when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. The one that said to the demoniac that had demons, said, come out. The one that's words have power. Don't forget, he's not dead. He's alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to know that his word still has power. And he watches over his word to perform it. That's why the devil tries so hard and in many cases very successfully to keep you from getting the word into your heart. You see, we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony, which is the word of God. Need I remind you that his word says this, that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth among his people, looking for someone that will let him show himself mighty and strong upon their behalf. He still speaks. Sometimes we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in a small, gentle way. Sometimes we always should hear him speak through the written word. Sometimes we see him speak through dreams or through a vision. And let me address something right here, right now. If you think you've heard a word from God, I'm going to tell you how to always know, without exception, how it's from God. It says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word of God be established. If you've heard a word from God, there will be confirmation from somebody else. They may not even know that they're confirming something to you, but God will have spoken something to you, and in just conversation, or maybe you'll be reading something somewhere, and yeah, even something you may see on television may confirm to you something God has already spoken to you. But be very, 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 very careful about jumping up on a whim of somebody told me, the Lord told me to tell you such and such, and you just take off running with it. You're going to get a bloody nose. I believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit. I do believe in words of knowledge. But I'm going to tell you this right now. God will never, ever direct your life without having spoken to you about it. Because the steps of the righteous, the steps of the good men, they're ordered by God. They're confirmed through people. God doesn't direct your life through people. He confirms through people. Don't ever take anything I say and just go run hog wild with it without God having spoken to you. But judge everything that I say, not only from behind this, whatever this is, but to you on the front porch or in the rodeo arena or wherever we may be, if what I say to you does not measure up to accurately what this says, disregard what I said and cling to this. But God still speaks. He speaks to the oppressed and the hopeless because he's a God of hope. He speaks to those that have lost hope or are rapidly losing hope. I've told you many, many times, and I know this to be a fact. I've seen the devil even try to do it in my own life, especially years ago. One of the biggest tools that he has to defeat you is to try to get you to believe that it's your situation, your life, your circumstance, it's hopeless. Why? Because if he can get you to lose hope, it's impossible for you to have faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I got news for you. You've got faith. It may be in the wrong stuff. Your faith may be in that you're going to fail, instead of your faith being in that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. You see, fear, doubt, and unbelief, it's still faith. It's just faith in the negative. It's faith in the devil. It's faith in the wrong. It's where you're placing your trust for all of that negative stuff to come to pass. Find God's word that he will be a God of hope. If you'll immerse yourself in him and in his word, he can do all things. He still speaks to the broken, to the sick, and to the infirmed. I want you to know that when he took that beating at that whipping post that he did, that by his stripes were healed, made well, and made whole, that it wasn't just for that time period. You heard a song a while ago about his blood will never lose its power, and I got news for you too. They'll never run out of blood. He will never run out. Go back. Many of you have heard the vision that the Lord gave me about starting this place. First vision I ever had. If it hadn't have been such a heavy presence of God with it, it would have scared me to death. I'd have thought Glenda had gone nuts. Woke up at 2:00 in the morning. I'm going to share it briefly, quickly, this part of this vision. Laying on my right side. I'd been out on the road, rodeo, and I'd come in, I was tired, went to bed. I woke up, laying on my right side, and as soon as I woke up, I was wide awake, and immediately a hand came down out of the dark right up to the edge of my bed like that, and blood started dripping off of it. And then another hand did like that, and there was a little flicker of fire, like my little finger wiggling there. And the best I can describe it, it was kind of like a cloud face. It went. And that little flicker of fire became a huge fireball. I could feel the heat off of it. It lit my whole room up. I saw the reflection in the mirror, and it was gone, just like that. Well, I knew I'd had a spiritual encounter, but I'd never had a vision. I sat up on the side of my bed. I looked at the clock. It was 2:02 in the morning. Walked out on the porch in my underwear. Sit down there with that blue heeler dog. And I said, Lord, and honestly, this is exactly the way it happened. I said, Lord, what are you trying to say? And it was like you turned on instant replay. Here it came again. Except this time with the vision, I heard a voice from behind me, an audible voice, not a thought. I heard an audible voice. It said, soon many will come that need the cleansing of my blood, and there's more than enough for all that comes. Said, even now the fire of my spirit burns in your midst, but I'm about to breathe on you, and you're going to see things you've only dreamed of and prayed for. And it was gone. This place wasn't even a thought process at that point in time. About 2 weeks later, God began to deal with me about building a building. And I'll share that story one night, but there have been many that have come. You've been here, most of you. You've seen those that have come, that have surrendered their lives to Christ, that's had their blood, their sins cleansed by his blood, that's become a child of God. Amen. And I can't wait to tell you the rest of that. He did speak to me not long ago, and he says, you're about to see come to pass in your midst what you read in the pages of my word. I read some pretty cool stuff in here, don't y'all? We're about to see it come to pass in our midst. But I got news for you. It's not going to be in some kind of showboat way. It's not going to be in any kind of religious fanatical stuff. It's going to be you and God. It's going to be me and God. God's going to move in here. He's going to touch you. He's going to speak to you. There are going to be people not only saved and filled with the Spirit, but there are going to be people that are going to be healed instantly. There are going to be people that are going to find peace that they've been searching for. There are going to be people that's marriages are going to be restored. There are people that are going to find, once again, the hope that they've lost. They're going to experience things that only God can do. And guess what? I want to be a part of something that's so real that no man can take credit or glory for it, that only God will get the glory for it. So he's still speaking to the broken, the sick, and infirmed. He still speaks to sinful man for the sins that we've committed, and we've all sinned. That blood still cleanses that sin. To those in the household of faith, those of you that are children of God, he speaks strength and wisdom and direction and peace, power, provision. He still speaks. And his word is quick. And it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I dare you to indulge yourself into the Word of God for 30 days and not see your life changed. I dare you to set out to disprove Him. I dare you. You know why? Because there have been people a lot smarter than you and me that have set out to disprove his existence only to find themselves like the Roman centurion at the cross that said, surely this was the Son of God. Surely this is the Messiah. This is the Anointed One. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the one that Jeremiah prophesied about. This is the one. There's not another. There's no other name given among men whereby you must, don't miss that word, must be saved. He still gives love and encouragement and comfort. His word is enough. He still speaks to those that have addictions of different types. He still speaks to those whose hearts have been crushed and broken. His word says, whosoever will, come. He says, come unto me. Me who? Jesus. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Almost every time, there's a few exceptions, that there was a demoniac or a sickness or a disease or whatever was to take place, Jesus always met the need first, with a couple of exceptions, and then he dealt with the spiritual side of it. Forgive their sins, go and sin no more. And I'm going to ask you in a very different way, if you're tired of living like you're living. If you're tired of living in sin and you need the forgiveness of God, you need to ask Him to come into your life and be your Savior. If you're tired of living broken and hurting and wounded, if you're tired of living being bound up with various types of addictions, and the list goes on and on. Don't just limit it to what I said. It can be any of several things, but you're tired of being like you are, and you know that at His word, one word can change your life. You need to talk to Him. You need to hear Him. You need to experience Him with no big ado. I want you just to, whatever the reason may be, to get out of your seat and come to these altars real quickly. I want you to get down here. I want to talk to you. I want to pray for you. I want you to talk to God. I want you to be free from whatever it is that's chained you down and bound you up. I want you to get a comfort from hurts and wounds. I want you to be resurrected from hopelessness. I want you to be in a place where God and only God can touch your life and change you. We're going to wait on you. Still coming. You see, truth is, most all of us could be down here. If you're here today, whether you're at these altars or in your seat, you say, Dennis, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, and I want to ask Jesus to forgive me and come into my life. Wherever you're at in this building, if that's you, would you raise your hand? Every head up, every eye bowed. I'm not going to thank you, sir. Thank you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Others, quickly, raise your hand. Say, that's me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Quickly. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. No time to be ashamed. It's time to get rid of it. You see, we've all been right where you're sitting right now. Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. I'm going to ask one more time. You say, Dennis, that's me. I need to make things right with God. If that's you, raise your hand. I once walked very close. Thank you. I once walked very close with him. But I'm living a life I shouldn't live, and I need to get back to knowing him like I once did. You're a prodigal son, and you want to ask for forgiveness. If that's you, raise your hand. Slip it up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, sir. You have an addiction. You're ready to lay it at the feet of Jesus, and you're ready to give it to him and ask him for help. Put him on the spot. If that's you, I want you to come quickly. Quickly, no matter where you are. Some of you are already down here. All right, everybody look at me real quick. Several of you that raised your hand needing to accept Jesus as your Savior are in your seats, and that's fine. You can do that right there. But you have to have a clear understanding of what it means to be born again. It says that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, came to this earth and he walked it out just like you and I, but was without sin. And he laid his life down on Calvary's tree, shed his blood and died in our place so that we could live. They bury him, and 3 days later he walks out of a grave, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and that he's alive today. It says, if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. And your life should and will change. So with that in mind, I want to lead you in a prayer. You see, my prayers can't save you. You must ask. You must believe. So let's all pray. To the Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I do believe that you're God's son, that you died in my place so that I could live eternally. I believe you walked out of a grave, demonstrating your powers over death, hell, and the grave, and the ability to give me life. So I ask you now to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, to be my Savior and my Lord. Help me, Jesus, to learn your voice, to learn your ways, so that I can live a life that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, there were several that raised their hands for addictions, and God, I can't deliver anyone. But as they talk to you and name specifically what it is that they need in their lives, I ask you, Lord, to do what only you can do. And that's to supernaturally deliver them. To take the desires from drugs, for alcohol, for gambling, for pornography, for anything that's holding them back, hate, bitter the world. God, I ask you to deliver them and to help them. Have a song of praise and a testimony upon their lips that will glorify you. Now, your word tells us to bind the strong man, to take authority and dominion over the devil and those demonic influences that we wrestle against. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And Lord, we cast that down in the name of Jesus, that name that's above every name. Lord, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would do surgery in their hearts and in their minds tonight. That God, you will change them. That you will do a supernatural work in Jesus' precious name.